throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Oh, it's early call time.
Oh, we're on.
It's 8 o'clock in the evening. I thought that one of our previous podcasts was the latest one we'd ever done, but now
this is officially the latest.
This is the latest. This is late night. We're here with Sally Richardson Whitfield.
Ooh.
Hi, Sally.
Yeah.
I wish you guys could see what these two are wearing too.
And we're off.
Oh, they're boy. In here sexy with the cats. It's hot.
Yeah.
Where's that cat?
I don't know. They left.
I couldn't handle this.
It's like Stitchers month on our podcast right now.
Okay.
So, you know, we're having some Stitchers people on.
Great.
So you're on that, I think.
I think I'm on that. I think my name is Maggie Baptiste.
Or Baptiste Magritte.
Magritte Baptiste.
Yeah. Did you read that and go, oh, that's my name?
Well, that was later on. I didn't realize. I thought Maggie was not really representative of who I should be.
Sure.
Maggie didn't seem right to me. But now that I know it's Magritte.
Yes.
Baptiste.
It goes with the pantsuit.
Now I feel like it goes with who I
am. Do you wear pantsuits?
Skirts? I don't know why people assume that. No, I always have a
Because you're always standing behind the railing, and it's like a puppet show. We
I
just
don't
see
like
from
pantsuits.
The waist up.
I like tight dresses, business okay. dresses. But when I have to run down a hallway with a gun, then we put pants on
for the show
day.
Or oh
for the show.
Yeah,
for that. Yeah,
that's cool. Well, thanks for coming over.
And goodbye.
That was a brief podcast. Yeah, cool.
Usually,
wow,
when
you prep for this, huh?
when Sally is over, we usually are editing.
We are editing.
So this is a different situation.
You guys have worked on stuff together.
Yeah, we worked on a few shorts.
One day we're going places, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gonna be big time.
Like Encino.
No, we're going to make it all the way to Santa Clarita somewhere.
Whoa.
We're going to be in Lancaster. It's going to be hot.
As you go past Santa Clarita. Oh, we missed the exit. That's exciting.
Yeah, we've been doing some stuff. And yeah.
You've been directing a few shorts.
I have. And thanks to you, Andrew, for introducing me to JJ. And asking me.
So you didn't forget about that. That's
I
nice.
Did not. You are the person that connected it. And
great.
One day I will be able to repay the favor. One day.
I remember when I first met you because when I worked at a management.
Was I mean?
Yeah, I was working at a management company before I went to Stitchers, and I had edited some of your husband's reel when he was a client there.
Oh, really?
And I said I cut some of Dondre's reel. And you said something about how horrible it looked. And
no,
I, was like,
I did
oh,
not.
This is going to be a good time.
We've been waiting for him to be on our show.
Yeah.
It's like he's either my albino son or some sort of like.
Oh, me. I thought
cereal.
You were talking about.
No, I'm talking about you.
I thought you were talking about Drake. Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. Serial killer.
No, I was going to be your albino child.
Yes, it'll be great.
That would be,
yeah.
That'd be a great episode.
Season 6, baby. I just show up.
Mom.
No, so I'm excited about the show coming, like, you know, coming on again. I think it looks better.
It does.
And the writing, somebody wrote a episode this season, and some guy, he was very excited.
It's sharing the couch with you?
Yeah. He dressed in a suit that day for the table read.
I did.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's classic.
I brought some class.
I looked over, I was like, ew. Why are you dressed like that?
And then you frantically read the script for the first time.
I do a lot of prep work for, it's very funny. So I've been obviously doing this a little while. And maybe I'm lazy and not good anymore. I don't know, but everyone else is like...
That's how it appears on camera.
They all have these notes, and they've like, oh, yeah, it's the third time I've read the script. They're like, so what do you think of it? I'm like, I haven't read this thing. That's why I'm at a table read. This is when I'm going to read it. It's the same episode, basically, different day.
It's always entertaining because your reaction is genuine, whereas everyone else has already read it.
Right.
So you have the out loud, like, oh, that's a dumb idea. And I'm like, oh, cool. We got it.
I think, well, you know what? I think that after doing this for a while, I even do that now. I used to prep and like to figure out how I'm going to say every line, you know, ahead of time. And now I think that that's what I like about TV. It gives you the freedom to be comfortable enough because you're around the same people all the time.
Yeah.
That I just memorize my, unless it's some long monologue where I just have to have it real, you know, some of that, information stuff that you jerk offs write for me in the conference room, but
like the tech stuff,
right? Yeah, blah blah blah. You know, you have to run that a lot, but most of the time, I just try to memorize it and come in and just what's the situation, how are they saying it to me, and react from there. And I think it's much better, and I feel like it's in the moment rather than just making it feel rehearsed anymore. And I think that's what's great about TV.
That's beautiful.
I know. That's for all you young people out there who want to know about acting. You'll get to a point where you just don't give a shit.
Telling it like it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it shows.
Yeah. Just, well,
your general onset demeanor is horrendous.
That's what I'm there
people,
for.
When we see your name on the call sheet, it's like people calling sick.
She's coming in.
Yeah. Sally's coming in hot.
Hey, they know not to mess with Mama.
They do. The walls literally part when you walk into the lab. Yeah.
So you have a question for me?
No, not really.
I do.
Oh.
Okay, thank you. Obviously, we need some guidance here.
Well, let's usually...
I thought you could carry things.
I didn't know what I was... Listen, okay. Yes, JJ.
Well, you've also done a lot of films as well.
I have.
And do you like film... Well, you said you like TV because of the spontaneity and some of that stuff. If you had to choose between film and TV, what would you...
Well, if I was, you know, Sandra Bullock somewhere, you know, doing movies for $20 million somewhere, I think I would like film more. No, I don't.
Sure.
No,
sure.
No.
So would I.
I don't know. I always think it's different. I mean, I think what's great about doing a film is that you get to meet some new people and it's a new character and you know, so you get to do something different. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's really what it's about. It's like you get to really jump into something you haven't explored before.
Yeah.
And then, you know, TV is really that same character, but it's something... I don't know. I just think it's a whole... I don't know if it's one or the other. That's
okay.
What I'm trying
fine.
To say. I like... It's like doing a play. It's so gratifying. It's great fun. It's... but it's... Do I like it more than the other? No, mm-hmm. It's just different and exciting in the same way.
Do you have a favorite character over the years that you've played in the past that you're like, oh, I really wish it was like that, or... Like, for example... Your character in Black Dynamite. Was that your favorite character?
I don't know. I think that... I don't know. At the time, there are favorite experiences that I've had. And I would definitely say the Black Dynamite is one of them, just because you don't know... All of a sudden, you're in the midst of shooting it, and you're like, I don't know what this is going to look like. I know they say it's going to be, but this... Because in reality, when you're reading I remember going to my acting coach about it, because I went, because I knew I had to have it was a certain style, so I wanted to make sure I was true to it. And when you're just reading that script on the page, it just looks awful. Like, I remember going to my coach at the time. He's like, this is not good. And, like, he didn't get it. Like, he didn't get what it was supposed to be. And he's like, I don't know. I was like, well, I'm in now.
Yeah.
And, but I was trying to explain to him what the genre is and what we were doing.
Sure.
And he was right, though. When we got there, he goes, then you are completely, you have to play this like you are so for real.
Yeah.
And you are committed to the truth of it. And doesn't matter what goofiness that they're doing, you have to commit to it being real for you. And I think that's why it worked, because everyone else is doing outrageous thing and I'm just reacting to it like, oh, well, yes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what made it. I mean, that's what they did back then. So
yeah.
That was fun. Like when I did with Will Smith, when I did I Am Legend. That was just amazing because I've never, still to this day, I've never been on a set with a scale like that. You know, we're in New York under the bridge and there are 2,000 extras and helicopters and, you know, just I've never, you're like, whoa, this is a movie, you know.
Yeah.
So everything. And then I did this movie Anacondas in Fiji. And that was the most fun and I've ever had shooting anything, but at the same time, like the most horrible, excruciating, because water, anything with water. Oh, I think now I'd be like, the movie takes place with water. I don't know. Like, because you were just always wet and always cold. And I think there were times where I just thought I was going to die because of how cold I was.
Right.
Even though you're in Fiji, you think, you know, and it was just very physically demanding and you're in the middle of nowhere. So, but at the same time, you kind of had this new family and we had the best time in the world. So it's, they're all great.
Yeah.
Do you feel like when you do a movie and you've shot your stuff and you go and you think, oh man, this is something that I wish that I would have tried or something, versus TV where you have time to kind of flesh out a character more and maybe you can come into it 6 or 8 episodes in and go, oh, here's something that I'd like to try out.
Yes. I mean, you definitely get to grow, but at the same time, every time I do something, I'm not someone, I don't like watching myself on camera because it's never completely right to me. I always go, oh, I could have given more here, or I did too much. And every once in a while I go, oh, that's pretty good. Okay. I like that. But even in TV, you know, because the scenes are separate, they're standalone and you look and you know, you just feel like you could have done more. And it doesn't matter how much someone else says they like it. You go, yeah, but I should have. I could have done this. And but I guess if we're happy with what we do, then we're not striving to be better.
That's true.
Like your writing. I'm pretty sure that's...
What are you saying?
No, I'm just saying. I'm pretty sure that,
my writing,
you know, you look back and you regret some damn of the things
perfect.
That you're...
Nope.
He's very confident.
No, actually, we were talking about that earlier.
You're drumming.
Yeah, that's true. I was watching how-to drumming videos on YouTube today. Fun employment. I did a short film a couple of years ago that JJ produced and edited, and I watched it again today, and it's been a while since I watched it, but it was one of those things where you get far enough removed from it that then you look back at something and you go, now I'm seeing things that maybe I didn't see before.
Right.
Because I was too close to it.
Well, every time is a, like, especially now with directing, the more I watch other films and then I've shot something and I'll go, oh, that could have been something I could have done and maybe I could have gotten with more time or more money. Every time that is like a new thing where I'm just learning more and more and kind of obsessed with certain films and and shots, like, you know, write down, oh, that one shot when they did, you know, to steal it later.
Right.
And that's definitely stuff I look back on some of my short films that I've directed before where I go, I should have had the camera moving here. I should have had this. And, you know, but it's all a learning experience.
Yeah. You directed on Eureka.
Yeah.
How did you get to that point on that show? Did you just kind of go in one day and say, hey?
Hey, I think you should let me direct.
If you want me to keep showing up here.
Well, I think that I started just really being hungry to do something more. And the guys had started to direct. And I knew that it was something that I wanted to do. But I had, you know, I had a daughter. And I think I was pregnant on the show. And then once I was through, I said, you know what? But I didn't take it very lightly. Like, there was a director I love. So during my break, I said, Eric, hey, can I shadow you? Because I'm going to ask them if I can direct, but I want to make sure that I'm prepared for it before I ask. And you don't know. So I did that. Luckily, Jamie Paglia, our creator, was just a wonderful man and went to bat for me because he knows I don't ask to do something unless I'm prepared to do it or if I know, you know, let's go. And it's a big thing to ask. You know, our episodes are like $3 million episodes. So, you know, he convinced them, and, you know, the first episode I did, you don't know if it's going to be your cup of tea, you know, because it is overwhelming. I remember the first day I was in the production meeting, and you're literally, I mean, you're in a room with probably at least 50-plus-year-old room of white men, basically. There's no, that's not very many women in there. It's just like
the old. As it should be.
Well,
right?
Yes, there go. Mm-hmm. Oh, damn Oscars. but it's really, you know, it's this old boys club.
Yeah.
And as much as I know some of them, they're still, you know, like, what are you here? Oh, they're only letting you do it because you're an actress and you're on the show. You know, so you have, and I just remember inside, I looked very calm because I know how to do that. But inside, I was like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have a panic attack. And then later on, the costume designer was like, oh my God, you were so in control there. I was like, whoa, I did some good acting in there. Because I was like, I just knew that everything you asked me, I either had to have an answer for, or if I wasn't sure yet, I'd go, yeah, well, I'll tell you about that tomorrow. I haven't really made a decision on that gun yet. I'm thinking this, but, you know, we can revisit that in a little while. You know, you just had to really, I knew that some of it, I just had to, part of directing is everyone feeling comfortable that you either maybe have made a decision yet, but you're in control. Anyway, I'm rambling. But after doing the first one, I loved it.
Yeah.
It was the biggest high I've ever had. Even with acting, I was just, I just remember that first one. I probably, if someone was videotaping me, I'd probably look crazy. I was just so full of energy and bouncing around and like, and then by the time I did the next one, and what was great is that they gave me such, like, first day on the set, our producer was there with me.
Mm-hmm.
But literally by halfway through the day, he was like, okay, you got it. And he was gone.
That's awesome.
He was like, things are going well. And then even we had I remember we did some huge you know, like a Star Trek kind of console room scene with battles and stuff. And it was something about this dance of how to choreograph the blocking for that went so well that even Colin, our lead actor, was like, no, that's how you should be directed. That was quick. And I was like, and it just was such a delight for it to work so well. And yeah, I don't know.
Right.
It's a great high.
How did you manage directing and acting on the same thing?
Well, it is hard. You know, you hope that when they write it, that they will write you light in the scene. I want to say was the first one, I was not light in it. I was playing two different characters.
not light at all. No.
Yes. But, you know, I think that we had a good... I had worked with the DP a lot, and a lot of that is with your script supervisor, that I trusted her eye. So I could go set up the shot with, you know, with my stand-in and see everything and do it. I can feel if I acted right, but I can say, did we get that? And she goes, yeah, okay. I mean, I remember being in a scene with Fargo, who was on the show, and it was literally just a scene where we're across the desk, but I can feel I'm acting across him, so I'd be like, okay, all right, reset. Like, we literally finished the scene, and I'd go, okay, don't cut, just reset. Let's go tighter real quick, and okay, let's go. Action, and then we start the scene, and I'm still in it.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
And, yeah, that is crazy.
And it just kind of felt natural and seemed to work, and I think the only day in that first episode that I needed a little help was because I had a helicopter scene. Like literally a helicopter landing and a shootout through the helicopter with a 2-story green screen behind it.
Cool.
And I was like, okay, I have an idea of how I want to do this, but I think I need some help on this one. I'm not quite sure why you wrote this in my first episode, but okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what super visual supervisors are there for, so you can help you with
but
that
I,
stuff.
But when I look at it, I go, that's exactly what I, you know, I had a storyboard artist. I'm like, that is exactly, and that kind of thing is, especially being in it, being able to storyboard it, then I know exactly what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Because I can say, okay, this, remember we have to get this shot and start crossing it off. So
yeah,
it was a great training ground.
Would you, after takes, would you go and like watch the monitors and see what you've got?
You know, they had given me a playback because normally we didn't have it.
Yeah.
I don't even think they have that really. Do we have that on our show? We don't really have playback. They don't really do playback because it takes too long. No. You can't be looking back every scene. So they got it for me because I said, you know, just in case, because I'm heavy in the scene. I don't think I used it much. I really went by how I was feeling that it was working out and trusting my DP and my script supervisor but I had known them for years. So I felt like but honestly, I would love not to be in it when I'm directing it, but I feel like I can do it.
Yeah. Seems tough.
Now, Sally, you're from Chicago.
Yeah.
The Chicago area. Is that where you started acting?
I did. I started doing a little theater when I was about 14 and like a little bit of modeling and stuff, and did like some small theater and commercials and whenever, you know, in Chicago during that time, they would shoot a lot of movies there. Mm-hmm. So whenever movies would come through, maybe I'd get a small part in it, but, you know, eventually you have to move.
Yeah.
And so at about 20, I think 24, I had worked at a restaurant for about a year, saved my money up and drove up to LA.
Wow.
But saved up enough so I didn't have to work for a year.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah.
So I had an apartment. I flew up, got an apartment, or rented a room in this woman's house in Santa Monica whose son had gone to college. So it was like a great place on San Vicente off of 18th Street, beautiful home.
Yeah.
But it was, her son was at college and she needed some extra money. So I'm now in a home with a family. So I had a nice base and a safe place. And I got an agent before I moved too, which is, so you're not coming here and you don't have representation.
Yeah.
So that it, and then I had a year, and within that year I started working. So things worked out. I don't think, you know, when you're young, you don't know that you should fail.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like you're 24 and, you know, no one in this town, you pretty much should fail.
Yeah.
And you're trying to be an actress. Yeah, right.
You're right.
Yeah. But it worked out.
How did you get the agent out here?
I was already represented in Chicago and I had a manager I was working with at the time out of Chicago, and they helped me set up some meetings. And I don't even remember. I mean, I literally met with some really big agents and I have no idea. Now I look back, I'm like, I don't really remember how I got some of those meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But I was good in meetings. I was just good. I was like, well, I really don't have much tape, but I'm really good. You should hire me. And I have this one movie I did. I had shot this movie in Chicago, but I didn't have any tape on it yet. I said, but I'm pretty sure I'm fabulous, you know. And I guess they believe me.
Apparently.
And I remember it was an actor who already lived here that I knew, and he was so... I was telling him, oh, yeah, I'm meeting with so-and-so, and then I might sign with them. He goes, it's not that easy. You know, you're going to have to do this. And then I came back. I'm like, yeah, so William Morrison Triad want to sign me? And he's like, ugh. And he was just so like, I hate her. That is not how this is supposed to happen.
Sounds about right.
And you said you didn't know, you only had one friend out here?
I knew. Yeah, I maybe knew about two people here.
Wow.
I didn't really know. Yeah, I didn't know anyone here. A few actors I had met before, but no, I didn't really know anyone.
Did you do just acting for your for money, or did you?
No, I had enough money for that year, so I didn't have to work.
But after that year was up, were you just acting at that point? Wow.
That's
really impressive.
By, I'd say maybe 6-7 months in, I got a guest star on this show called Silk Stockings. Do you remember?
Oh, nice.
USA, right?
USA.
Yes, we'll have to find that. Yes, I think I have a bikini on it somewhere, you know, because you have to have a bikini on it.
Sure.
So I did like Silk Stockings. I did a pilot that I didn't. I tested. It was like my first test, which is the most stressful thing in the world. And I didn't get the lead I was auditioning for, but they liked me so much that I did the pilot at least, and they were going to bring me back as reoccurring, but it didn't get picked up for much. And then after that, I got maybe one more little job. And then I got this movie called Posse, which was what... Then all of a sudden I did Posse, and when I started working.
I'm proud of you.
Awesome.
Glad it's worked out for you.
And I'm cheap, so I could live off. I'm pretty cheap. I had the worst car forever till finally I was shooting Low Down Dirty Shame with Keenan Wayans and Jada Pinkett Smith, or Jada Pinkett at the time.
Right.
And I still had the same car that I had driven from Chicago to LA. I mean, it was just like literally I had to reach over to open the other door and you're still cranking the windows, and it had this odd smell in it from when I got it in the first place. And I just kept, I had done Posse already, and I was now doing Lowdown, and I was still coming in. I'd start meeting people in LA you got a valet. Yep. And I would park down the street because I didn't want to valet my car. And then I'd pull up to the movie, you know, and then Jada and Keenan had these fabulous cars, and finally were like, come on now. You got it. But I didn't want to have a note. I was like, oh, they're like, you've got to get a new car. This is ridiculous. So. Around that time, I was shamed into finally spending some money on a car.
Is that scary, though? Like, the first time you're like, I'm going to make a big purchase. And
well, you know, I did the lease like everyone does. You know, so okay, I got a truck and leased it. And then I was living in the...
You drove a truck?
Well, you know, everyone, you know, SUV, like I got a,
oh,
you know.
I think I meant like a Bronco.
No, I had a truck.
or a pickup truck.
Yeah.
You're
hauling wood and stuff around.
It was like light green or something. I don't know. But yeah, I got a truck, and then I moved into my own apartment, but I don't even remember knowing that back then, like the pressure I have on me now that I put on my own self about paying bills and life and stuff was never... Back then, I don't think I thought about it. I'm like, oh, things will happen. I'll work. Blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yeah.
It'll just happen. Yeah.
Because you have a family now, and that's part of it, or?
Yeah, I think so. Or it's just gotten more. You know, it actually, people think it gets easier. It gets harder.
Yeah.
Because it keeps harder to maintain what you've built, and you still have dreams of doing bigger things and better things, but now you have more responsibilities, and now it's not really about you. And it's about your kids and your family. And so it's like, you know, it's hard.
So what's the bigger thing that you would eventually like to do? If somebody was like, here's the ideal job.
Well, I mean, I still want to be
on our podcast.
Yes. And I mean, I still have those dreams of being on, you know, that show that makes you a huge star, that show that you're on. That's, you know, that's getting a Golden Globe for that, you know, those kind of edgy shows that you really want to be doing some real acting and, getting the acclaim for. And I still want to be directing some great things, and so there's just so many things that you know, and then you start getting your head, oh, I'm getting older after this, but then you look at other people, I'm like, oh, they're still doing it. So it's very complicated in my own little woman brain that worries about way too many things.
You look like you're like 19, so it's not really
but I'm not. Right. And they know you're not. They look at your IMDb and they're like, she's old.
Do they?
They do. They do. They know.
I don't think I ever said that when I looked at your IMDb.
Yeah. You're not calling to hire me.
Well, I wish I could.
Yeah.
But it's a hard, you know.
Do you find, well, I mean, that's an interesting topic, though. Do you find that, because it's unfortunate, but there are times in Hollywood, like, there are women that if they get into their mid-30s that they may not get calls back from auditions and things like that. Like, have you witnessed that?
Definitely. I mean, it's so funny. I had stuff like that going on when I was, like, in my early 30s. And you're like, I'm pretty sure I still look pretty young, but they see a number or something. But I'm very aware of my age or what I am, what I'm not. I'm not trying, like, I'll look at something. I can look at something and go, there's no way they're hiring me.
Yeah.
I'm too old for this. Or now I'm kind of in that, sometimes I'm in a weird space where I am late 40s, but, you know, they're like late 40s and mid 50s. And I'm like, I'm not getting this because I don't look old enough. They're not they're not going to cast me as my age. They're not going to cast me as late 40s. They're not going to cast me as 50 because, but they may if the guy's old enough because they want you to be look younger. You know what I mean? So it's kind of a weird spot.
It is a weird spot because I mean, I'm not an actor, but male leads, I don't really, do they have that problem? I mean,
no.
Yeah, I don't.
No, they just get distinguished.
Yes, and, you know, peppery.
But there's a lot of, but that's why in TV you find that a lot of women have a little more longevity because it seems like you can, there's this, a lot of leads of shows now are older women and it seems to work. And, you know, and what, honestly, what can I do? I can't worry about any of that. I just got to have to continue and push on and do the things I want to do. And that's why I want to direct and do different things. And I can just come like I am today in a baseball hat and jeans and I don't have to worry about it.
That's right.
Yeah,
you look about like you sexist
rolled out of bed.
Near me. Yeah.
Well, all you can do is the best that you can do, and it should.
It is
work
what it
out.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're working.
I'm working. I can't, you know. In reality, I work more than. I mean, what do they say? Like 2% of the union or something actually can sustain their life without another job.
Yeah.
And so I've done that since for 20 years or more than 20 years now.
Yeah.
So in reality, I can't complain, but I still have my own hopes and dreams to do even better, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have any, can we have a, it's called a horror story segment where you have just this terrible story that you can tell about something or.
Why are you looking at me when you.
Like a production or anything like that. You don't have to name names. Do you have any stories or you know what? Just stories in general that you thought were really nice on a set.
Well, I mean, I have like
nice horror stories.
Nice horror stories.
I have films that I look back on and I go, "Oh, this is awful." I don't think I've ever been anything where I go, "Oh, I was completely awful." Mm-hmm. But I have learned that sometimes, even though you need a little money coming in, maybe you should just go, I'm not doing that job because the movie doesn't turn out. You know, sometimes I'll do things and I'll go, oh, a script's okay, but maybe I can make it work. But I know the DP, so I know it'll at least look good. You know, sometimes at least if it looks good and it doesn't look cheap, you'll make it. But horror stories, I don't know if I have really any awful stories.
That's good.
I really don't. I don't look.
Like some of the examples that we've had in the past were DPs dropping cameras into pools.
Oh, no. You know,
things like that.
No, I've.
Someone texting a producer with a really bad word, not realizing they were texting the producer, and then the producer walked in. And realized, oh, you were calling me that, and I wasn't supposed to see this text message.
Oh, did you do that?
No.
Oh.
Someone that you know has.
Someone, a writer on Stitchers did that.
I love it.
Not to someone on Stitchers. Previous job. It was Vivian. She was on the show. We talked about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's one of the greatest things I've ever heard.
One of the best stories.
Like, this guy's a jerk and blah, blah, blah.
Well,
and
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I was saying jerk.
Let's
I'm
go
sure
with
it was
the
worse.
Nickelodeon version.
Yes, I'm, you know, I don't want to be obscene. Yeah. I don't think I've, you know, I'm that person who makes sure, like, double check. So I'm texting and, like, if I'm about to have, let me make sure I cut off the phone. Like, okay, let me make sure it's cut off. I'm kind of paranoid about stuff.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I just want to, I mean, really, I've never. I'm just trying to think. I've never had anything like completely awful happen to me or do on a set. And no, I don't know.
That's good.
I'm so boring.
You're still young. There's plenty of time.
Well,
horrible things are going
to
happen.
I'm trying to think. It's terrible. You know, I'll leave here and go, oh, gosh, yeah.
Well, you are a very optimistic person.
Kind of.
I think you're optimistic.
You think so? I don't know if my husband would say it.
It is interesting because he's an actor as well, and you have children.
Yes.
What is that process like? Just, you know, both of you being in the industry and you're raising kids and...
Is there competition?
I don't... kind of. It's funny. I think that there's ebbs and flow, you know, when somebody's doing great and someone's... And I don't know if it's necessarily... It's not necessarily competition, but there's times when great things are happening for one person and then maybe you're stuck somewhere and you feel great for them, but you're not feeling as great as you probably should, or you're not showing it as much as you could because you're feeling like, well, why isn't my star rising right now? And I think that it gets frustrating there. But I don't know, but it's never any, I mean, because in reality, it all benefits the family, and you have to think of it, you know, that way.
Yeah.
I think that having, I'm very happy I have children. It's what I live for, and I think that it keeps me normal, because...
That's funny, you think you're normal.
But, you know, it's like when I leave work, I'm not thinking about being an actor, I'm like in a ponytail and jeans and at the softball games with my kids and obsessed with their lives more so than they would like me to be. Did you do your homework? You need to, honey, come home and, you know, he's talking about some great job. I'm like, yeah, okay, great. You need to practice with Parker with her pitching for at least a half an hour today because her first game is Friday, you know, so he's like, yeah, but I just got a big job. I'm like, I'm so happy for you, but does that mean when are you leaving? Because, you know, will you be able to bring the kids to school tomorrow? Because that would help me, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it is. You know, I'm excited, but we got to. It's just real life. It's real life. This is our job.
Yeah.
Do your kids have any interest in that side of the business?
Not as of yet, though I do think I see inklings of children with quite a bit of personality who are not shy at all. And
that's true.
Knowing their parents, I'm not surprised.
But they're very polite and nice, but they're not. We just went to the zoo. What is that?
Zootopia.
Zootopia premiere.
Yeah.
And my son... He's been on the red carpet before and taken pictures, so they're kind of used to that whole thing. But now Freeform was interviewing him.
Oh.
And he was just blah, 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 blah. Like, this was just something he did. What do you think it's going to be doing? And he puts, you think the movie's going to be good? And he puts his hand on his chin. He's like, I think so. He goes, I think, and they ask him what animal he wants to be, because I think I want to be the fox. And he's like, why? Because they're very mischievous. And I think that I am very mischievous. And they're like, what?
Wow.
And he's just talking and not shy.
That's good.
The times I met them, they're very lovely children.
Yeah, I'm very happy. I can't complain. They give me a hard time, but if you, it's always, if you send your kids to someone else's house, if they go, oh my gosh, your kids can come back at any time. They were wonderful. Then you know you've done. I mean, of course, they, you know, they're going to be mean to me and not do anything I want them to do.
Right.
But I nag them enough that they know what they're supposed to do when they leave the house.
Yeah.
And they're not weird.
We got to keep them grounded.
Yeah, I don't want you to be weird. Just don't be weird. Don't be doing any weird Hollywood stuff. And we don't do any. My daughter's 11. She has her phone and stuff. She's going in the sixth grade, but she's still, there's no social media.
Good.
No Instagram,
that's
no
probably best.
Snap, none of this stuff. She's been really trying to do the Snapchat. I'm like, it's not going to happen.
Snapchat is not great. I don't get it.
You're not doing any of it. You're not. I'm like, why?
Wait,
text your friend. You don't need to Instagram.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to be on?
You can.
I'm on Instagram.
You are old enough now.
Okay.
You may do that. But yes. Yeah, none. No.
That's good. Because I don't know. I mean, I remember watching like MTV Cribs or something and seeing kids who were like 14 years old and they were getting, you know, Porsches and Maseratis and stuff. I'm like, you're not even old enough to drive it yet.
And what are you going to look forward to? I mean, we just finally gave her the phone because, like, you're the last kid in class. I'm like, all right, we'll get you the phone. But then she had to pay. She wanted the iPhone. I'm like, you want an iPhone? You got to pay for your iPhone. So she, just every bit of money she had ever been given, she bought her own phone.
Wow.
Nice.
So
she really wanted that phone.
She really wanted that phone.
Wow.
But
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. We try to keep them
that's, and pretty. And I have friends. Do they have an allowance and stuff like that or no?
Nope.
No? Okay.
No.
No, I don't know.
Like, no, we don't. We probably should do that. They do stuff. I just figure you need to do whatever I ask you to do.
Yeah.
At the time, there's no really set chores. I think we could probably be better at that. But they have so many school, between school and sports, you really don't have time to do much of anything else.
Yeah.
But if I say clean up your room, then clean up your room. My son, hey, I need you to go in the backyard and pick up the dog poop. He's like, ugh. Or pick up your, you know, he does it. He just does it.
Stars, they're just like us.
Yeah, go get the dog poop, pick up the dog poop. Two dogs. You got to clean up the poop.
So what would happen if, you know, you got an opportunity to do a show that was going to be, you know, shooting somewhere else for months and months out of the year? And, I mean, is that something where you just pick up the kids and you go? And
no, I'd be gone.
Or,
I mean...
Or you'd be... Okay.
My husband just got a job. He's doing a new show, Queen Sugar, on OWN that Ava DuVernay is directing. And he'll be gone for... you know, next 3 months or so. And he'll come back and forth. When I was shooting Eureka the last season, I think the whole last season, kids stayed in L.A. and I flew home every weekend.
That was in Vancouver?
Yeah. So it just kind of have to do, I mean, we're actors, that's what it is. You work. And then if we were work, I think I did that for the last 2 years of the show. Uh-huh. And then, you know, because it's a cable show, luckily it would I was shooting like during the summer sometime. So they would just come to Vancouver.
Yeah.
At summer break and then go to camp in Vancouver instead.
Oh, that's
so nice. So you just work it out. I mean, you know, what is he not going to do a show because it shoots in New Orleans? You got to go where you have to go.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to, get on board.
And it's, having the kids come up to Vancouver to go to camp, like, that's a great experience.
Yes, and my daughter is always like, you need to get a... She's ready for me to get a show out of the country so we can go live out of the country. I said, well, what about your friends? And she's like, oh, I'll see them when I get back. She goes, I'll meet new people. She's very independent. We're planning on changing schools next year. And she's like, I said, you're going to miss your friends? She goes, I can call them. She's like,
she's an adult. That's what she's. Yeah, she's an 11-year-old adult.
Well, she's just very. She's comfortable with who she is. You can take her. Like, do you want to go to this camp? You don't know. Your friends are going here, but you don't know anybody here. But I know you want to do that. She goes, yeah, I'll go there. I'll meet somebody when I get there.
Wow.
She doesn't have to one person that needs to know.
Yeah.
So, and my son's that way too. He's like, kids. Uh-huh. Hopefully, some kids. I'm around some kids who are just like. You're like, hello? Can you say hello? They're not very personable. Oh, yeah. They're just like void. She has some friends like that where you're just like, oh my gosh, you're just dead inside already. Those are the worst kids in the world. Like, I've known you since you were in kindergarten. Hello. They're like, oh, hi, Sally. It's just like, what is wrong? And my daughter is the one. She's like, hi, Miss Park. Oh, hello. Hi. Oh, I love your dress today. She's just friendly. I'm like, what's wrong with these kids? Get a life.
Well, you're friendly. I mean,
your parents, I guess,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't see
that. My parents are not social at all, but they made me so social. Like, I was an only child, and when we would go to functions with my parents,
they
were like, you have to go introduce yourself.
Even though they weren't like that.
Yeah, even though they weren't. And I'm like,
but that's the best. You know, you're supposed to push your children. Like, if you're afraid of spiders, you're not supposed to give them that same phobia.
Yeah.
You're supposed to try to break the chain of what you're doing. And I think that a lot of people want their children to be like they are. You know, I have a friend, she's like, I'm a loner. And So all the sports she puts her kids in are like golf and martial arts, which aren't group sports. So you're still basically a loner by yourself. And whenever I see her kids, I'm like, hello, they're dropping you off at my house for me to watch you. You have to talk to me. Do you want some fruit? I don't know if you'd like to give it to me. Or do you want the fruit? Shut up. What the hell is wrong with you? Like, do you want it? I'm not going to give it to you. Do you want it? Just say yes. I want the fruit, or no, I'm not hungry. What is going on around here?
That's how I'm going to act if I ever go over to your house.
Yeah, me too.
If you want to give it to me, I'm like, what I'll kind take of
ungrateful? I just don't get what's going on. My daughter would be like, oh yes, that would be lovely. I would love that. Thank you very much. Do you want me to get it for you? You know, like anything. Yeah. And or no, actually, I'm full. You know, just in, like, what the hell are you guys doing with your children? Speak up.
I so wish I'd come to your house for Thanksgiving this year.
You would have been full.
But I could have acted all weird.
You could act
time.
Weird. Well, I don't think you need to act.
I don't know. I don't.
Oh, you're hilarious.
I kind of want some turkey, but I mean, whatever.
I don't know.
Stuffing.
I'm like, you want some cake? I don't know. If you want to give it to me, if it's good. Does it have sugar? I want to
put it on a plate.
Does it have sugar?
I'm like, what? Oh, I hate like kids that are just dull already. It's like, what is your life? You're just dull. You're boring already.
This should be your next film that you do. It's just some about
dumb, stupid kids.
Yeah, that's the name of it.
Dumb, stupid kids.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like, did you see the 40? What is that? This is 40 with Paul Rudd? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
When she curses that one kid out. The
it's
one,
awesome.
Yeah, I love it. I love that movie. That and, anyway, that has nothing to do with it. That Jason Bateman movie when he's like doing the spelling bee.
I love that movie.
Oh, my God. Dondre and I watched that movie like, I probably watched it like at least 8 times this month.
I think that was his like directing debut.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Ugh. It's great.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great,
it's,
right?
He's like a 40-year-old guy who has like a thing.
Isn't that the kind of
he has to win
movie?
A spelling bee.
Wouldn't you love to write a movie like that?
Isn't yeah.
It? Like that's your style too, isn't
that's
it?
That's me.
Yeah. It's so
he's like got a grudge. And so he's like trying to win a
and
like a
so
kid spelling bee.
Nasty to these kids.
Oh,
but
he is.
You like he's so mean to them, but you love it, and you love him for being mean to them.
Did you tell him that at the Zootopia premiere?
What about that movie?
Yeah.
No, I didn't speak about that at the Zootopia.
I mean, you could have.
What's
you
it called? Dirty words or bad words?
Bad words.
Bad words. Bad words. Yeah.
Yeah.
JJ, you have to watch it.
I know.
It's a very important movie to see in your life.
We've got it on the HBO.
Oh, really?
The HBO.
Sweet.
HBO.
That's how I talk.
Are you watching the HBO? That sounds like an old person.
That's
like
right.
Mother. Are you watching?
The Facebook.
Are you smoking the weed? Are you smoking?
She's taking my bits.
Yeah. What do you watch? What do you like? What's good?
I'm Walking Dead. I'm Fear the Walking Dead.
Did you watch last night's episode?
I did. I watched it this morning because I missed it last night. But literally, the kids left, and I watched it this morning
probably,
while eating breakfast.
Probably good the kids weren't there.
Yes. So I'm waiting for Fear the Walking Dead to come back. I like zombie kind of things. I just watched the Brad Pitt one, is it Z Nation? I just watched
World War Z.
World War Z.
Z Nation is a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I watched that the other night. Yeah, I have a thing about aliens. I like.
Wow.
I like those kind of.
You're dark.
I do, and all the Jessica Jones stuff, and
I love Jessica
Daredevil
Jones.
And
yeah.
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 So that's what I watch.
Is that stuff that you want to direct as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I study that kind of, like, I don't know if you have you ever seen that movie Red?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. It has the coolest shots in that. And that's the kind of movie where I go, ooh, that's so cool. Let me remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And the music's really great, too.
It's just a great, quirky kind of film. And I remember seeing, I think the first time I really noticed camera work was watching Rush, which was probably,
that's
my God.
That's a great band.
No.
Neil Peart.
Do you know the movie I'm talking about, Rush,
drums.
Though?
Yeah.
With Jennifer Jason Leigh?
Yeah.
And yeah, so I remember the opening of that film. There is this camera shot where they go through the bar, and it's like one shot. And it's one of those things where it's like you have to really sit there and work out that blocking and that choreography of things coming in and out. And then like it went through the whole house or something, and then it rises up one, you know, so you know that as they went through, they probably stepped up on some crane that put them up high, you know. I'm like, oh my God, how'd they do that? It's so amazing.
So, it's like stuff you don't get the time really to do in TV.
You
much.
Can't do that in TV. Just, every once in a while, I did a show called Family Law, which was my first like series. And Paul Haggis was the creator and director. Mm-hmm. And when he would direct the episodes, he always did these long moving shots through the law firm where people were coming in and out, and you had to choreograph it. And then if one person said a line wrong, you're like, ah!
Yeah.
And you're doing like, I mean, literally, he would do 30 masters. Like, he was very, wow. Yeah.
30?
I'm not kidding.
How do you do 30 masters?
It's your show, and you're Paul Haggis.
You pretty much, that's your day.
And I'm not, I am not exaggerating.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it would just be like, but it would be these long one-ers throughout this office, and the office was like made of glass, like everyone's off, so you were always, you know, even if you didn't have any lines, you were sitting there, you're like, ah, kind of like Stitchers where I'm sitting in that stupid glass office. I keep, every time they go, where would you be? I'm like, I'm in my executive washroom where you can't see me.
not at work.
Right. You can't see me. You don't know where I was.
Are you the one that writes stuff on that notepad and on the desk? Is that you?
Sometimes doodling.
We were looking at it the other day.
I doodle.
There's some twisted stuff on there.
No. If you see things like with diagrams. These kind of right angles, that kind of stuff, that's me.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's my same doodle I do.
Is that what you're doing during takes?
Oh, no, I'm texting or something.
During takes? Background.
Mm-hmm. I take it very seriously. I take it very seriously.
I can tell.
Yeah.
When you have those things like those big info dumps and big chunks of dialogue, because this is the thing that fascinates my dad about TV more than anything else. He'll watch like Scorpion and they'll blow something up. Doesn't care about that. Whatever. He always goes, how do those actors memorize all those lines?
No.
And a lot of people seem to have different answers. Sometimes they don't.
No, I do. I just add one line to, like, I'll read the first line at home, and I'll say it over and over. Okay, got that. I add another line. And I say those two lines over and over. I'm like, okay, got that. Add a third line. I just kind of keep adding. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
And then I kind of know what the other people's lines are in between, but say there's a three-page scene. I learn all my lines as if they're like one big monologue.
Oh, okay.
But in my mind, knowing where one line ends.
Right.
So if I can walk through the house doing things and say all three pages without the other actor saying it, then I know it pretty much. So then now when I get to work, I'll be like, they'll talk and I'll go, like in rehearsal, I'll be like, are you done? Okay, all right. So, okay, that's when my next line comes. Okay, I got it. So then that's when I get it. But that's also what keeps it fresh for me, because I have to listen to you because I don't really know what you're saying. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. And so, I can't have any really preconception about it because I don't know what you're going to say. I've looked at it once or twice, but I really don't know what you're saying.
She never reads the script. No. Not even at the table read, really.
I do read it at the table read, but I don't read it after that. And if I'm not in that storyline, I don't feel like I would know about what was going on anyway. I'm not there.
That's an interesting acting tip.
That's true.
I don't know. Yeah. I wasn't there. Why would I know what you're doing?
Yeah, I shouldn't know about that.
Yeah.
Skip over those pages.
I don't need that B storyline. I wasn't there.
No. What can you tell us about season 2 of Stitchers?
Yeah, I don't remember anything, really. I know it looks better.
It does.
Looks darker and edgier and better. And I think the acting is better. The writing is a little better.
Is that?
No, that's not about you at all.
Okay.
And so I think it's just better. Like, if you watched it last year, then you should definitely like it this year. Because it's better. It's just better. Some shows don't get better. I think it's gotten better.
We're on at 10 o'clock now, too.
Oh. Does that mean there's going to be sex now?
I don't... You're on the show. Oh. Like, have you not...
You finished...
I didn't have sex.
Seasons.
Well, I know.
I don't know.
You don't know if you did or you didn't?
No, I don't remember having sex. I don't know. Oh, I was in bed with someone. Oh.
You were, that's right.
Was I?
Yeah, you were.
I don't know who it was, so...
Gonna have to watch this season and find out.
Now everybody's going to be like, what episode? Where is that?
I don't know.
Is anybody listening to this?
My mom doesn't even listen to this. What's up, Mom?
Yeah. You were live to that laptop over there. As I said, that's it.
Yeah.
He's timing us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're doing a really good job.
Yeah, I've done this before.
Have you? Mm-hmm. You do a lot of interviews and stuff. Just make yourself comfortable.
Just kick back.
I know. I'll talk louder. Here, I'll pull this over.
It's fine. It doesn't matter.
I'm now leaning back on this cat couch that I'm on.
Yeah, when you're not here, the cats just stay here and they wait for you.
They do. I know what's going on around here.
You do.
Do you have any advice for any actors that are wanting to get into the business?
Well, I would say, I just think you should always be taking class, you know, in particular in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Even when I got my first, like, big movies, even after that, I was still in acting class. I still, to this day, I have an acting coach. If I need help, I will go to my acting coach. And I think that some people get jobs and get shows and think that, oh, that they must have gotten this show because they're great and not because maybe they got lucky, and uh-huh. that you need to continue to be trying to get better. Because the whole point is, the reason why I've been able to work for 30 years 70? Or something.
A few years.
A long time. I think 30 years. What? I mean, my gosh, I think 30 years. I think that because I've been able to adapt and change and grow. I mean, you know, you start at 24, I was the young ingenue. And that by the time I was 30, when I did family law, what I was just talking about, I was a young attorney. And then now I'm the head of most, you know, now I'm either an agent or the head of the company or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to change and grow. And you can't do that if you think you're great. If, you know, if you're not willing to put in the extra work and be able to look objectively and go, I mean, you should not, when you look at your work, you should be going, that's not good yet.
Yep.
That's not right yet.
Yep.
You always should be doing that.
Well, I feel like any creative person, whether it be actors or directors or writers, you look at your own stuff and you're never happy with it.
You can't be.
Because if you are, then you're like, okay, what has changed about me that thinks that this is the best thing?
I mean, there's moments when you're happy. Yeah, there's moments when oh, okay, it did feel good when I did that. But there should always be something that you didn't quite, you know, you could have done a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think that you have to continue to work very hard and believe in yourself and not quit. But know, be able to look outside yourself and know where your true talents are and may not or not. Know what you don't know. That's my favorite saying. To the youngsters on the show of Stitchers, I say, know what you don't know is more important than what you know. I know what I don't know, which means that I can ask other people if I need help with something instead of having to pretend I know it. Mm. Or, I can go, hey, you know, JJ, when we're editing or this, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know that. What do you think? Mm-hmm. You know more than I have right here. Do you think that we should do this and this and this? You know, I have a feeling, but maybe I don't know. And you have to be willing to ask those questions.
One of the reasons I like working with you is you're very collaborative in that aspect, because you might look at something and you don't know exactly what it is that you don't like, but it's either one of us or I have something that I'm like, I don't know, something's wrong with it. Either one of us knows what's wrong with it or we can figure it out.
Right.
We're pretty much on the same page.
I think it worked well.
Which was kind of uncanny.
We feel like something's, I don't know, that's not right. I don't know what it is, but let's figure it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of people, I think some of the best work relationships are like that, and some of the best products come because of that.
Because I have to trust you.
Yeah.
You're an editor. I'm not an editor. I haven't done this for years, and you're going to have an idea of what feels right and what doesn't.
Right.
Now, at the end of the day, I have to go, no, I'm telling you, this is my gut, this is right. So you have to be able to make that decision as an artist at the end, but that's, you know, you're supposed to be able to listen to other people.
That's a good quality, because there are some people that do not.
And they should.
Yeah, they should, exactly.
I mean, there's some brilliant people who maybe they are right, but,
yeah,
you know.
When you talk about the acting coach? Because this is something I didn't know. I knew about acting coaches, but I didn't know that there are, you know, people who are series regulars on big TV shows, and they're still going to meet with acting coaches on a regular basis, or, you know, they're established actors, mm-hmm. and they're still going when they go to auditions. They're
right.
meeting with a coach first. What is some of the advice that you would give for someone who's looking for an acting coach, and what does that person provide to an actor?
Well, I don't necessarily know how to tell you how to find a good one, but I think that, you know, for me, the woman who's my coach, her name is Sarah Mornell. She's an actress. She always, even though, I mean, most of the auditions I do now, I can do without her. But every once in a while, if it's really important, you just need that third eye. It's just like having a director there, that person who is seeing the thing you're not seeing because you're not outside yourself, who can uh-huh. go, you know what? Because there's times when you think you're doing, you know what you want to do, and you think you're doing it. And they go, so what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm doing this and this. And they're like, yeah, that's a great idea, but I didn't see it. And so now you just have to do a little more to, you know, and you need that third eye, I think, mm-hmm. sometimes. So I think that's what, for me, that's what, at this point in my life, in my career, that's all I need is that third eye for certain things. Some people need, you know, you're just green. You don't know everything yet. And you need acting school, not necessarily a coach.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's what you need. You just need that third eye sometimes.
It's good to know.
Do you have Twitter?
I have a Twitter.
Do you?
Do I do the Twitter?
Do you do the Twitter?
I do the Twitter and the Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it's at Sally Richardson, which is S-A-L-L-I Richardson.
Not a Y.
And on Instagram, it is Sally Rich Witt. S-A-L-L-I-R-I-C-H-W-H-I-T.
Sally Rich Witt.
Sally Rich, kind of rich wit, like I have wit. See how I did that?
Yes. Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yes, I'm so quick.
If our listeners had questions, would you answer them?
No.
Okay.
Yes, I would answer the questions.
Send them to us.
So if you or you could do the Twitter. Mm-hmm. You could do the Twitter
mm-hmm.
and say that you saw this, that you heard
mm-hmm.
this podcast.
Oh, this has all been on camera, too, the whole time.
Oh, that's shit. Hidden. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
They saw the things we were doing. that you saw the or you heard the show and you had a question. I can answer that.
Thank you.
I would look
so
at it.
So generous. Attention.
Well, that's who I am.
You are a giver.
Yes. That's what everyone would say.
What time is dinner at your place?
They ate at six.
Oh, it's already happened.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, it's 9 o'clock now. I've eaten.
I didn't mean like today. I meant like tomorrow and for the rest of my life.
What do you like to cook?
Yeah.
Well, we are now vegetarians in the house.
Pass.
The whole family.
Pass. That's a hard pass.
Oh, didn't remember we were there? That's because he loves his meat like just alive. It's just bleeding like someone just shot.
I didn't listen. That was a one-time thing where I was like,
it's like literally bleeding on his plate.
I've been there. Yeah.
It's awful. It's way too much.
You're
way
awful. What's rot. Wrong with, you know?
And white people like to eat their meat like that. That's what they
that
do.
That is so racist.
It is. Well, black people cook their food. I'm just letting you know.
I mean, it's all true.
It's true. I'm telling you.
The truth hurts, man.
But now we are. So tonight I had curried garbanzo beans and basmati rice. And then the kids had spaghetti with like fake meatballs, but they don't mm-hmm. know. My son says...
Wait, do your kids not know that they're vegetarians?
My daughter knows. My son says that he doesn't want to be a vegetarian because he likes chicken. And he loves chicken. And he's not going to stop. And I go, fine. But he's 7, so you got to eat what I make you. So,
sure.
So I give him stuff, and he has no idea what he's eating. I'm like, well, how was the spaghetti? He's like, it's great. I'm like, well, it wasn't real meat. He's like, oh, okay. I guess I'm a vegetarian. I go, yeah. He hasn't had meat in a month. He has no idea.
Wow.
I'm going to tell him.
Yes, it gets brilliant.
Have this cheeseburger.
I make him tacos. He's like, I'm like, how are the tacos? He's like, it's good. I'm like, it wasn't meat. How are the buffalo rings? Good. Wasn't chicken.
What?
Wait, what?
They do that now?
Yeah, what's the...
Yeah, he can make like... My daughter, a veggie girl, has these like tofu buffalo wings, and they are good. They don't know what they're...
Dude, we're going to the veggie grill with, with Sally.
We're going to live forever. Oh, not you, with your bloody meat.
Is that the intention to go vegetarian? To live longer?
Just to be healthy, you know. Yeah. Be healthy. And then my daughter really is into it. That's her, like... She won't. Every once in a while, I'll eat some fish. She's like, I'm not... Nope, not going to do it. She won't eat it.
Every once in a while? Like, how often?
I don't know. I haven't had fish in probably 2 weeks, so not very often.
What is that called? A pescatarian?
Pescatarian.
Lutheran?
Every once in a while. Lutheran. Jehovah Witness. You're a Jehovah Witness when you eat fish.
Yeah. You read your copy of Watchtower.
And... Yeah. And you vote for Trump. It's great.
Right. Exactly.
Yep. We won't get political. We'll just leave it alone.
That's all you had to say.
I think that's the most political we've gotten on this show.
We'll just end it there.
Yeah.
Vote for Trump.
That's going to be a soundbite now.
Vote for Trump.
We've had people who have made soundbites on this podcast before.
Please
and
don't
then
make it that.
They've asked us to remove those soundbites because out of context.
Yes, don't say that.
They would sound really bad.
Yeah, I'd be like Stacey Dash and you don't know who that is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know the name.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
You matter.
No one cares about her. It's fine.
Really?
I loved her in Clueless.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she's the one who's like, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Brilliant. All right, I'm going home.
Yeah,
all right,
bye. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for coming over.
I'm gonna go drive 5 minutes away from you and go home.
People are going to know exactly where you live now.
We'll be over for Thanksgiving.
They live
dinner.
On the outskirts of where
Wait, what are you gonna
the
do
nice people live.
Huh? What are you going to do for Thanksgiving dinner?
She invited me this year.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Meat.
What's the deal?
Well, because think about it. Most of the sides don't have... So we don't have a turkey, but...
But the what do you mean you just casually, we just don't have a turkey?
I can make a turkey
for
the guest.
Okay.
I still know how to cook it. I'll still fry a turkey.
Oh, you'll fry it.
I fry it, baby.
Girl.
Nice.
A fried Cajun turkey. But I can still make greens, dressing, macaroni and cheese, all that stuff. I can make all of that, all the sides we can eat.
You're not vegan, right? Just vegetarian.
No, I'm not vegan. But I don't, you know, I'm not a big, I don't drink milk anyway. We always drink almond milk.
Okay.
And we will eat cheese if it's in it. But I don't eat, like, milk or cream or ice cream because it just... is not my friend.
I had ice cream an hour ago. It was awesome. Baskin-Robbins over here. You should check it out.
Did you get Jamoke almond fudge? That's my favorite.
I did the scoop of thin mint and a scoop of chocolate.
Thin mint?
Man. Yeah, I asked for mint chocolate chip, and they're like, I don't have mint chocolate chip, but I got thin mint. And I was like, what's up, girl?
That's like Girl Scouts. Oh. All right. I'm tired.
All right, leave.
I'm dying. Mm.
If you have any questions for Sally and you are afraid to text her or tweet her,
you can tweet me, but yes,
you can email us the question and we can forward it to her at earlycalltime@gmail.com. You could tweet Andrew.
Yeah, at The Real Zuber, or you could tweet JJ.
At JJ Geiger 711.
You could call us at 267-225-CHAT.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, telephone. We got a phone number.
267-225-CHAT. You can text us or leave a voicemail, and we can play it on the air or read it.
Yeah. We're on Instagram at Early Call Time. I think we've got like 4 photos.
Yeah.
So that's pretty
Most
solid.
Most of them are Frankie, my cat. So, yeah.
So are you going to write my next series?
Me?
I have a quirky idea for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There we go. All I need
You're just like, I got to go. Hey, could you write a TV series for me real quick?
Okay,
all right, see you later. Bye.
Well, I got it on tape now. He said it. He said yes.
You
did.
Wait,
you
didn't
said
we already
yes.
talk about
no,
this?
No, you said it. No,
did we talk about this at lunch one day?
It's a series, not a movie.
Yeah, I know. Was that a movie that we talked about?
Yeah,
without
I have
further
a series
ado,
for you.
Listen to the intro.
Goodbye.
Okay.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.